Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody out on this beautiful day. We need to be mindful of those that aren't able to be with us this morning. I miss having the visitors that were here the last couple of weeks and their little girls, but the congregation that they attend started assembling again. So we need to be praying that everybody will be able to get out, be praying for Brother Ron, for the others, and praying for each other every day. When you turn on the radio, the TV, one of the things we hear a lot of is that things just are not going to go back to normal. Because of this virus that we've had, things are going to be changed forever going forward. Well, I want us to ask the question, is COVID-19 changing the Lord's church? Now, the Lord's church has changed a lot since the day of Pentecost. There are a lot of forces trying to change it, and we're at a point right now where some people may be trying to change some more things about the Lord's church. Friends, times change, but the Lord's church should never change. The Lord's church should never change. Consider some of the things from the first century, how things have changed. The way we dress, our method of transportation. We don't walk or ride on a donkey. We have cars. We get on planes. The houses that we live in have changed from the first century. The jobs. We have different jobs than they had then. The communication, the telephones, the media that we have. There have been so many changes, and things will continue to change, but some things will always remain the same. The world has changed, but mankind has not changed. Why is that? Because of sin and the nature of sin. Sin is the same today as it was from the beginning. We have the same temptations. We have the same tempter. Satan is still trying to tempt us. We have Ananiases and Sapphiras in the church today that will lie. We have Demases in the church that will forsake the Lord and go back into the world. We have Felixes today that will say, I may do that, but I'm looking for a more convenient time. You see, we are morally the same today. We have the same universal problem, sin. So some things are going to be the same, some are going to change. Since we've sinned, man still needs the same gospel that they heard back on the day of Pentecost. But I want us to consider several things that just to look at them in regards to the church to see if they are changing. So how about the church's government? Is the government changing? Well, we need to understand what the government of the church is. The nature of the organization of the New Testament is a local congregation. It's composed of local congregations. Paul wrote into the church of God at Corinth. That was a location. Luke records now there were churches that now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Acts 13:1. Again, a location, a local congregation. When Paul returned on his first missionary journey, he ordained elders in every church. Again, separate individual locations. How is the government in the church? To the Philippians, Paul wrote in Philippians 1:1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So the congregation is composed of bishops, or also called elders, deacons, and saints. That makes up the government of the church, and it is in an individual location. One of the things that you aren't going to find in the New Testament is some kind of central head church that tied other churches together. We see that a lot today. You just can't read about that. There may be some places that are going to push for more of that because of this virus that we have had. In the New Testament, you can't read of conventions, associations, meetings where different churches would get together to discuss things. How did they do it? They did it individually, each individual congregation. And friends, the local congregation is the largest and smallest organization to do the Lord's work. This group right here is large enough to do the Lord's work. And it's the smallest organization, meaning it's not part of something else. We don't have a head church over us telling us what to do. In the New Testament, churches were independent of one another. Equal, all the congregations were equal before God, regardless of the size of the congregation. Whether it was the church at Jerusalem or the church meeting in Philemon's house, they were all equal in the sight of God. So we shouldn't let a larger church shame us or intimidate us that we aren't good enough because we're a small group. That's not the government. That's not the organization of the church that we can read about in the New Testament. We are all equal. The mother church concept came along many years later and has no biblical basis whatsoever. Preachers have the oversight. I'm sorry, preachers have no oversight or charge of a church. Elders do, but a preacher does not. A preacher does not rule the church. A preacher is to teach and preach to a local congregation. Again, elders are set up to rule a local church under the authority of Jesus. So the government of the church is not going to change. It should not change because of this virus that we have. What about the leadership? Is the leadership going to change? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:1, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So when we look at leadership, Paul sets out what the pattern is. And Christ is the head, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So in the church, you have two categories, and we all fit in to one of those categories. We either lead or we follow. We're either a leader or a follower. But what's going on in the denominational world? A lot of them are taking women and putting them in a role of leadership. And you can't read about that in God's Word. You see that happening in some congregations that wear the name Church of Christ, where some let women be involved in business meetings. Some may have them as an elder. Some may let them get up and speak. And that's not right. It's not right. We cannot change the leadership of the Lord's church. So I was looking around at some different websites, some different congregations in the area, and this one is from a Church of Christ, and it says, churches come in many varieties. Some are old-fashioned and traditional, others are cutting-edge, and some are a blend of both. Now stop and think about that. A traditional Church of Christ, sometimes we hear contemporary. they use the phrase cutting edge. What is a cutting edge Church of Christ? Some are going to be moving that way. What is cutting edge? They want to be on the forefront of everything. Some of them push the envelope to be involved in things that are out in the world that a lot of the congregations have been doing. But again, with the leadership, it comes back to a local congregation. If there are men qualified to serve as elders and deacons, if not, the preacher is not above everybody else. The preacher is included in that word saints with everybody else, and we can't change that. Well, what about the mission of the church? The mission. Every organization has a mission. Any kind of social group or at school, a PTA, they have a mission. Every business has a mission. What is our mission? In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what is our mission? Our mission is to go out, find the lost, teach them, baptize them for the forgiveness of their sins, and then teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's our mission. Our mission is also to help needy members. That is part of our mission too. We have seen denominations do different things, and people are saying, we can't go back to the old normal. We're going to have to change. How far are we going to change? These are some things that I took off of Facebook, some slides. And again, the denominations have been doing this for a long time. This is from the Brethren Church. I have to look up here where the type is bigger on the slide. They call this their blessing box. Their blessing box for to have a pantry of food. Some of the places in town have clothing trailers to take around. Is that the mission of the church? No, it's not. It is not. And we need to be careful. We need to teach people. And why do I even bring up, is COVID-19 changing the church? Because there are a lot of people that have come out of the denominational world. There are a lot of people that have not grown up in the Lord's church. And when somebody's telling them, we need to change this, we need to do this, we need to do that, they need to understand and be grounded on what we can and cannot do and why, and understand that the Lord's church does not change. These food pantries are not part of the Lord's church. This blessing box. This is from the First Baptist Church up the street. Everybody knows they have dinners that you can come to. I was talking with one lady, and she'd attended here a couple of times, and I said something to her about coming, and she said, "But if I go to the Baptist Church, I get free babysitting and a free meal." Well, with COVID-19, now they may have changed this in the last week or so, but you could come and pick it up curbside, just like the restaurants. If you couldn't come and pick it up curbside, they deliver to your house. Does that sound nice? It sounds nice, but it's not part of the Lord's church. It is not part of the Lord's church, and we need to understand that. Something else as far as missions of the church, and this again I got from a page, a website of a Church of Christ. And just on the side at the top, it under events, it has birthday dinners, blood drives, seminars, cocoa and carols, First Fridays, Gospel Mission, Operation Christmas Child, School Supply Drive. Then it goes into some more detail on the side, different things that they have. These are all social. They're social things. Again, this is not the mission of the Lord's church. We are to go out and to teach people. Why are we to teach people? Because they're lost in sin, just like we were, and they are going to be headed to torment unless we can try to turn them around. More ministries. Education, Feed the Flock, First Sunday Fellowship, Kids Church, Lady Summertime Devotions, Missions, Small Groups, Youth Site, Children's Ministry, Super 60s, Women's Ministry, Youth Ministry. The name goes on, and again, these are becoming more popular under churches that wear the name Church of Christ, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to understand what is the work, the mission of the church, and where do we have authority for what we do. Well, how about worship? Is COVID-19 changing the worship of the church? Friends, the worship of the church, of the Lord's church, does not change. We have five acts of worship that we are partaking of here today. Some of those acts of worship you can only read about in the assembly. They are exclusively in the assembly. And with that that pattern, just like we go back to the ark and Noah, where God told him to use gopher wood, that excludes anything else. If there's something that is in the assembly, that is exclusive of other places. The whole way of people coming up with what worship is in the last couple months is, I don't know what the right word is. Some of it's interesting, some of it's sad, some of it is people are very sincere. But again, around town, so this is from the Faith Worship Center, right up in the lot across from the grocery store. Pastor Doug is back to share a word with all of us. Thank you for watching. When it's time to worship, rise to your feet and lift those hands to the Most High. God will meet you right where you are. And that jumped out at me. God will meet you right where you are. Can you read that in the Bible? Can you read that concept? The thing that comes when I read that, the thing that came to my mind was when Abraham was going to go and offer Isaac, and he was a three-day journey, and his servants were with him, and he said, "You stay here, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. We will go yonder and worship, and then we will return." If we can just worship God anywhere, why couldn't Abraham? Why couldn't Abraham just say, "I'll just stay here, and God, you come to me"? But this mindset is, God will meet you wherever you are. And it's permeating the denominations. We need to be careful that we do not have the same mindset that they do. Another one from the First Baptist Church. Three easy steps. Number one, wake up. That's a good start. Number two, grab a seat in your Bible. Number three, join us online. See you tomorrow. And again, I've seen a variety of churches presenting lessons that I would agree with 100% wholeheartedly. Lessons, classes, but there's also this idea that's out there that, I don't know how to say it, I would put it this way, the God that I worship is not a God that I would come before with slippers and a cup of coffee right after I rolled out of bed. I don't serve a God like that. I hope all of us serve Jehovah, the one true God that is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And somebody will say, what if somebody can't make it? You know, isn't this good if somebody can't make it? Well, friends, let me use Ron as an example. Ron's not here today. Is God going to hold Ron accountable for something that he's unable to do? He's not going to hold him accountable for something he's unable to do. God holds us accountable for what we are able to do. And I see a lowering of the stature of God, bringing him down to man's level, making things more casual. And we need to be careful. Is COVID-19 changing the Lord's church? I hope not. I hope not. Jesus died. Jesus, he went to the cross and died to purchase the church. He's the builder of it. He has a pattern. He has a plan that we should follow. Another one from a church up the street. A lot of their events are becoming more of an entertainment production than a worship production. And if you don't want to watch it on your phone or tablet, some places, this was Easter. I think this was one of the Brethren congregations. It's kind of dark in the slide, but they're on a wagon like a parade float, and they have some instruments up there, and then someone is speaking. This is one of the pastors from one of the denominations presiding over a Lord's Supper. The worship. I would ask people for any of these. Where's the book, chapter, and verse? Show me, help me understand how you have authority to do this. Help me understand what the pattern is to be able to do something like this. When we come to worship God, He is the most reverend being, supreme being, and you think about Nadab and Abihu, and we'll talk about them later. They offered strange fire, and what happened to them? They died instantly. They died instantly, and Moses said, this is what I said, whoever comes before God, God's holy, and he must be treated as holy. Well, is COVID-19 changing the attitude of the church toward those in sin? That's something, I hope it isn't. I hope COVID-19 isn't changing the attitude of the church about people in sin. We still need to be loving toward people that are in sin, but teach them that they are in sin and they need to change. But sometimes, maybe in a situation like this, people will say, well, you shouldn't be so hard on them. There's just so much going on right now. That's not an excuse for not doing something that they ought to be doing. Our attitude toward sin should be we lovingly point out the sin to someone and we encourage them to turn back to God, but we don't use COVID-19, we don't use these scare tactics, these orders, as a way to overlook sin. And that's something that is a challenge on one hand, but it's something that we need to do. So when people say there's going to be a new normal, we can't go back to the way things were, is that true with the church? Are we saying we can't go back? Friends, the church, the government of the church, the way it's organized, the way it's set up, independent congregations with the men taking the lead, we can't change that. We cannot change that no matter what happens. The leadership, we cannot change that with elders and deacons and saints, the preacher preaching and the elders, if there's a congregation, taking the leadership role, the men taking the leadership role over the women. We can't change that. We can't change it. The mission of the church, with everybody out of work and out of money, should we set up a food pantry and clothes for people here? We can't do that. That's not the mission of the church. The worship, can we change the worship? And I had the reading that I selected to point out one thing. In 1 Corinthians 11:17, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together. He talks about coming together. That's what we're doing this morning in the assembly. And then he says in the next verse, when you come together as a church, you come together, we're coming together as a church. And then in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place. So this church is something where we come together. We come together as the church. We could all come together and go to a baseball game. We wouldn't be the church. But when we come together as a church in one place, we worship God. We worship God. And people are trying to change that. And stop and think about this. If we can change one aspect of the church, then we can change them all. If we can change the government, then we can change the leadership, the mission, the worship. If we change the mission, we can change the other three. If we change the worship of the church, then we can change the government, the leadership, and the mission. But we do not have authority to change any aspect of the church. We just don't have it. Who has the authority? Christ has all authority. All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Christ has all authority. So when people talk about we can't go back to the old normal, there's going to be a new normal, on one hand, we should see that as an opportunity to talk to people. Because as I said, there are a lot of people in denominations. There are a lot of people that haven't grown up in the church with an understanding of authority. And we need to just ask people, that's an interesting idea. Show me the book, chapter, and verse. Show me how you arrive at the authority for any of these things that you're doing. And will the Lord's church, what will it be like tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now? When the seed is sown and the gospel is spread, it will be the same as it was back in Jerusalem in the first century. There will also be forces that continue to try to change it as long as this earth stands. Because Satan does not want the church to stand on the principles of God. I hope this has given you something to think about this morning. It's a little different than what I usually do for a sermon, but with everybody talking all the time about We can't go back to the old normal. There's going to be a new normal. We just need to stop and think about that. We need to stand on God's word. And friends, one of the other things that cannot change is the way we go to heaven. It can't be changed. The way that we are saved, it can't be changed. The only way that we can be saved is through the blood of Christ. The only way that we can be saved is to be baptized into Christ, to reach that blood, that we can be forgiven of our sins. And then we are added to the church. And Christ is the Savior of the body. Don't you mean I can't be saved outside of the body? No, you can't. Because when all the saved are in the body, in the church, that excludes anybody that's outside. Friends, are you in the church or are you outside? Are you living as Christ wants you to, or are you living on your own? Friends, God has spelled out everything. He loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's worthy of all honor and glory and power. And if we do all of that and honor Him, we still don't deserve anything. But He's made it possible that not only can we escape hell, but that we can also go and live with Him for time without end. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that wants to make your life right with God, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.